Good day, my beautiful African family. Welcome to my podcast. It is I and I, your host, Tumisho, aka Soweto, and I'm broadcasting live from South Africa. Today, our topic is about the priceless of knowledge. Knowledge is priceless. You don't have to pay for knowledge. The thing of going to school and paying for knowledge, it ain't right. But knowledge is priceless. Knowledge is a priceless value, because by applying knowledge, we can make our future what we wish it to be. When we realize that our present character, our present environment, our present ability, our present physical condition are all the result of past method of thinking, we shall begin to have some conception of the value of knowledge. If the state of our health is not all that could be desired, let us examine our method of thinking. Let us remember that every thought produces an impression on the mind. Every impression is a seed which will sink into the subconscious and form a tendency. The tendency will be to attract other similar thoughts, and before we know it, we shall have a crop which must be harvested. If these thoughts contain diseases, germs, the harvest will be sickness, decay, weakness, and failure. The question is, what are we thinking? What are we creating? What is the harvest to be? If there is any physical condition which it is necessary to change, the law governing visualization will be found effective. Make a mental image of physical perfection. Hold it in the mind until it is absorbed by the consciousness. Many have limited chronic ailments in few weeks by this method, and thousands have overcome and destroyed all manner of ordinary physical disturbance by this method in a few days, sometimes in few minutes. It is through the law of vibration that the mind exercises this control over the body. We know that every mental action is a vibration, and we know that all form is simply a mode of emotion, a rate of vibration. Therefore, any given vibration immediately modifies every atom in the body. Every life cell is affected, and the entire chemical change is made in every group of cells. Everything in the universe is what it is by virtue of its rate of vibration. Change the rate of vibration and you change the nature. Quality and form. The vast panorama of nature, both visible and invisible, is constantly being changed by simply changing the rate of vibration and as thought. And as thought is a vibration, we can also exercise this power. We can change the vibration and thus produce any condition which we desire to manifest in our physical bodies. We are all using this power every minute. The trouble is that most of us are using it unconsciously and thus producing undesirable results. The challenge is to use it intelligently and produce only desirable results. This should not be difficult, because we all have had sufficient experience to know what produces pleasant vibration in the body, and we also know the causes which produce the unpleasant and disagreeable sensation. All that is necessary is to consult our own experience. When our thought has been uplifted, progressive constructive, courageous, noble, kind, or in any other way desirable, we have set in motion vibration which brings certain results. When our thought has been filled with envy, hatred, jealousy, criticism, or any of thousand and one other form of discord, certain vibration has been set in motion which bring about certain other results of different nature. And each of these rates of vibration, if kept up, crystallizes in form. In the first case, the result is mental, moral, and physical health. And in the second case, discord, disharmony, and disease. We can understand then something of the power which the mind possesses over the body. The objective mind has certain effects on the body which are readily recognized. Someone says something to you which strikes you as a ludicrous and you laugh until your whole body shakes, which shows that thought has control over the muscles of your body. Or someone says something which excites your sympathy and your eyes fill with tears, which shows that thought controls the glands of your body. Or someone says something which makes you angry and the blood mounts to your cheek, which shows that the thought controls the circulation of your blood. But as these experiences are all the results of the action of your objective mind over the body, the results are of a temporary nature. They soon pass away and leave the situation as it was before. Let us see how the action of the subconscious mind over the body differs. You receive a wound, thousands of cells begin to work of healing at once, and in few days or a few weeks, the work is complete. You may even break a bone. No surgeon on earth can weld the parts together. I am not referring to the insertion of rods or other devices to strengthen or replace bones. He may set the bone for you, and the subjective mind will immediately begin the process of welding the parts together, and in short time the bone is as solid as it was. You may swallow poison, the subjective mind will immediately discover the danger and make a violent effort to eliminate it. You may become infected with a dangerous germ, the subjective will at once commence to build a wall around the affected area and destroy the infection by absorbing it in the white blood corpuscles which it supplies for these purposes. This process of the subconscious mind usually proceeds without our knowledge or direction. As long as we do not interfere, the result is perfect. But these millions of repair cells are all intelligent and respond to our thought. They are often paralyzed and rendered impotent by our thought of fear, doubt, and anxiety. They are like an army of workmen ready to start an important piece of work, but every time they get started on the undertaking, a strike is called or plans changed until they finally get discouraged and give up. The way to health is founded on the law of vibration, which is the basis of all science. And this law is brought into operation by the mind, the world within. It is a matter of individual effort and practice. Our world of power is within. If we are wise, we shall not waste time and effort in trying to deal with effects as we find them in the world without, which is only an external reflection. We shall always find the cause in the world within. By changing the cause, we change the effect. Every cell in your body is intelligent and will respond to your direction. The cells are all creators and will create the exact pattern which you give them. Therefore, when perfect images are placed before the subjective, the creative energy will build a perfect body. Brain cells are constructed in the same way. The quality of the brain is governed by the state of mind or a mental attitude, so that if undesirable mental attitudes are conveyed to the subjective, they will in turn be transferred to the body. We can therefore readily see that if we wish the body to manifest health, strength, and vitality, this must be a predominant thought. We know then that every element of the human body is a result of the rate of vibration. We know that mental action is a rate of vibration. We know that a higher rate of vibration governs, modifies, controls, changes, or destroys a lower rate of vibration. We know that the rate of vibration is governed by the character of brain cells. We know how to create these brain cells. Therefore, we know how to make any physical change we desire in the body, and having secured a working knowledge of the power of mind to this extent, we have come to know that there is practically no limit which can be placed upon our ability to place ourselves in harmony with the natural law which is omnipotent. This influence or control over the body by the mind is coming to be more and more generally understood, and many physicians are now giving the matter their earnest attention. Dr. Albert T. Schofield, who has written several important books on the subject, says the subject of mental therapeutics is still ignored in medical works generally. In our physiologies, no references is made to the central controlling power that rules the body for its good, and the power of the mind over the body is seldom spoken of. No doubt, many physicians treat nervous diseases of function origin wisely and well, but what we contend is that the knowledge they display was taught at no school, was learned from no book, but it is intuitive and empirical. This is not as it should be. The power of mental therapeutics should be the subject of careful, special, and scientific teaching in every medical school. We might pursue the subject of maltreatment, of want of treatment, further in detail and describe disastrous results of neglected cases, but the task is an invidious one. There can be no doubt that few patients are aware of how much they can do for themselves. What the patient can do for himself or herself, the forces he can set in motion are yet unknown. We are inclined to believe that there are far greater most imagined and will undoubtedly be used more and more. Mental therapeutics may be directed by the patient himself toward calming the mind in excitement, by arousing feelings of joy, hope, faith, and love. by suggesting motive of exertion by regular mental work, by diverting the thoughts from the malady. For your exercises this week, concentrate on the Tennessee Sun's beautiful lines. Speak to him, though, for he hears, and spirit with spirit can meet. Closer is he than breathing, and nearer than hands and feet. Then try to realize that when you do speak to him, you are in touch with the omnipotence. This realization and recognition of this omnipresence power will quickly destroy any and every form of sickness or suffering and substitute harmony and perfection. Then remember, there are those who seem to think that sickness and suffering are sent by God. If so, every physician, every surgeon, and every Red Cross nurse is defying the will of God, and hospitals and sanitariums are places of rebellion instead of houses of mercy. Of course, this quickly resents itself into a sub-duty, but there are many who still cherish the idea. Then let their thought rest on the fact that until recently, theology has been trying to teach an impossible creator, one who creates beings capable of sinning and then allow them to be eternally punished for such sins. Of course, the necessary outcome of such extraordinary ignorance was to create fear instead of love. And so, after 2,000 years of this kind of propaganda, theology is now busily engaged in apologizing for Christendom. You will be more readily appreciated the ideal man, the man made in the image and the likeness of God, and you will more readily appreciate the all originating mind that forms, upholds, sustains, originates, and creates all there is. All are but parts of one stupendous whole, whose body nature is and God the soul. Opportunity follows perception. Action follows inspiration. Growth follows knowledge. Imminence follows progress. Always the spiritual first, then the transformation into the infinite and the limitless possibilities of achievement. And this is it from me to you. Thank you for listening. And of course, there may be questions. How may sickness be eliminated? By placing ourselves in harmony with natural law, which is omnipotent. And what is the process? A realization that man is a spiritual being, and that his spirit must be necessarily be perfect. And what is the result? A conscious recognition of this perfection, first intellectually, then emotionally, brings about a manifestation of this perfection. And why is so? Because thought is spiritual and therefore creative, and correlates with its object and brings it into manifestation. Thank you for listening, and please let's share the knowledge to our friends and those who does not love us, because God loves us all. So let's become wise and smart. Thank you for listening, and peace out.